Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and we're in the midst of the baseball season. I'll tell you what, one thing, I've been lucky in the last few days. I've been able to see a number of baseball games in person at all different levels. You may have heard the program that we did a week or so ago with Mark Lolo, the minor league umpire supervisor, and I was with him at a game with the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, which is really exciting, the Midwest League team. And I also have had a chance recently to be at Great America Ballpark to see the Cincinnati Reds play the Milwaukee Brewers, and I saw at Wrigley Field, saw the Chicago Cubs play the San Diego Padres. I just love baseball, and I love talking to baseball players. And we have with us today a guy who I first heard about 10 years ago now, who was coming up with the Colorado Rockies, and people said, this guy's going to be really good. His name is Seth Smith, and he's now kind of what you call a well-traveled ball player. He's been around. He has been with the Rockies. He has been with the San Diego Padres. He's been with the Seattle Mariners. He has just been with a number of teams, played with Oakland for a while. And one of the things about Seth is that he now plays for the Baltimore Orioles, and I think he's having his best year. This is probably a top year for Seth. He's been leading the team in hitting for a lot of the year. I think he's either second or third now. But he is an outfielder and comes out of Jackson, Mississippi, comes out of Hillcrest Christian High School in Jackson, Mississippi. And we did this interview a few years ago. In fact, we did this interview in 2010 when he was a member of the Colorado Rockies. And so he's talking about the Rockies and talking about what he did with the Rockies, because the Rockies played in the World Series in 2007, and he was a part of that. So I thought you'd like to hear the interview, because as we've said many times, the teams may change and players change teams sometimes almost as often as they change their shirt, it seems like. But players change teams, but the testimony of players does not change, and that's what we like. So Seth Smith is our guest, the member of the Baltimore Orioles. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. And today we're talking to a guy who definitely is on the way up, having a good year with the Colorado Rockies. His name is Seth Smith. Seth, first of all, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Hey, this is your fourth year in the majors, your second year as a regular. Does it take some time to get adjusted up here to the major league life?
Absolutely. I've been up for parts of 4 years, two full seasons now, and the first two, you're kind of, for me anyway, spent learning the game and learning how to go about your business and take care of the things you need to take care of, and then it kind of slowly evolves into a kind of a regular type player where you're playing a lot and getting a lot of at-bats. And thankfully you've had the two seasons before that kind of point you in the right direction.
You kind of got to earn your stripes up here too, don't you? I mean, when you come in as a rookie, you're not necessarily, even though you put on the Rockies uniform, there's still a pecking order in which you kind of got to earn your way to the top, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's the same way for everybody. Thankfully with the Rockies, it's from what I hear, a bit of an easier road than some guys in other organizations have, but it's definitely been good. The guys I've been able to play with, the older guys that have kind of taken care of me and pointed me in the right direction.
You made your debut in September of 2007 as the Rockies were starting a wild ride that got them into the World Series. So you jumped right into it and had a big part of that. How did that affect you as far as where your role is now and getting to a place to where you stepped right into to what was going on with the Rockies in 2007?
It kind of spoiled me. I had been in the big leagues for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden I'm in the playoffs, and then a month later I'm in the World Series, and it was a great ride and a lot of fun, and I was just glad to be a part of it at that point. I got to play a little bit and do a few things here and there, but for now it just kind of gives you a hunger. You've tasted it, you know what it's like, you know kind of what it takes to get there, and you're always striving to get back. You always want to be back you know, in the World Series is everybody's goal starting out the season, and that's definitely where we want to get back to. And having been there before definitely gives you even a more appreciation for what it's like.
You came down to a great game, came down to a playoff game with the San Diego Padres. You had a triple in that game. What do you remember about that game?
Man, that game was incredible. It was a ton of fun. You know, the crowd was great. The game was great. We were down, I think, two runs in the 13th, maybe it was, 12th. I don't know how late the game went, but it was up and down and just a ton of fun and a great baseball game, especially for a playing game. You know, win and you go on and lose and you go home. So a game like that goes that long and has so many ups and downs, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, too, because as you went along, you got into that game, you got into the playoffs. Most teams had said the Rockies are kind of right on the edge here. They're probably not going to make it. You got all the way to the World Series, and then you had so much time off that people say that your time up against Boston, that was a little bit of a disadvantage. What were your thoughts about that run and getting a chance to play against Boston?
Yeah, it was fun. Obviously, I wish it would have turned out a little differently, but to be in the World Series is great. We were the best team in the National League, and that says something. I get a nice plaque and a nice ring to prove it. And that whole run was amazing. Like I said, it's added incentive. If you're a big league baseball player, you have plenty of self motivation, or you wouldn't be here. And just to add that on top of it, having tasted it before and wanting to get back so bad is just gives you should make you a much better baseball player.
What was your impression of Fenway Park when you stepped in there?
It was, it's not the best park, but you throw the history in there, and then it obviously ranks right up there with any park you go to. The clubhouse is small and the dugout's small, and there's, wooden planks you have to walk over to get from the dugout to the clubhouse, and it's not the best amenities, but that's not what baseball's about. It's about playing the game on the field, and the field was in good shape, and it was it's got a lot of history, but not necessarily the best place to play.
2008 was kind of a yo-yo year for you. After coming up in 2007 and having all those great experiences, you kept going back and forth to Colorado Springs and back up to the big club. And I know that's a part of what it's all about, but there must have been times in 2008 where it really got frustrating just coming up and going back.
It was a little frustrating, and 2008 was a great learning experience for me. Having come off the World Series in 07, I just figured I'd be one of the guys coming in 2008, and that wasn't the case. I didn't make the team out of spring training, and it's kind of a wake-up call that, they weren't going to give me anything, that I was going to have to earn everything that I got in the big leagues. And so thankfully I was able to go down and continue to push myself and continue to try to make myself a better baseball player rather than shut it down and just be mad about what was going on. And and through that I actually I became better, and it helped me when I got called up in 08, and then my first full season in 09, the bits in 08 that I was in the minor leagues definitely have helped me become the player I am today.
You've been through the league time or two now and even seen some American League parks. What's your favorite ballpark so far?
It's funny, I talk about Fenway being old and not great, and Wrigley Field is kind of the same way. It's just old, but it has a history, and I love playing there. I love it's just different. It's different than any other field you play at, play in. It's the park's just basic, but their fans are great. If you're a Cub, but not necessarily if you're a visiting team, but it's a lot of fun for me to play there. Other than that, I love playing. San Diego's not much of a hitter's park, but the weather's so great, and their playing surface is outstanding. So that's another place I enjoy going.
We're here in Cincinnati tonight, and Great American Ballpark has a couple things going for it. First of all, you got a night like tonight where it is so incredibly warm, the thermals seem to carry the ball out of the park, and it's a good hitter's ballpark. So you don't get here very often, but this has got to be kind of fun.
I don't know if we need the weather to help us hit home runs here. This place is pretty small, and it's and it's tempting to change your swing to just try to you know, maybe hit a pop-up out to right field, and that's something that you have to, you know, as a professional, realize that, you know, you need to stick with your approach, and if they make a mistake, then you capitalize on it, and you don't try to do too much.
Let's back up and talk a little bit about your background. You were drafted out of high school by the Arizona Diamondbacks, but you chose to go to college. You're from Mississippi. You chose to go to college at Ole Miss, and was that a tough decision for you to take what Arizona was offering or to go to Mississippi?
Not really. And I'll explain why. I was I think 48th round pick for the Diamondbacks, and I was drafted as a pitcher, and we didn't even get around to negotiating any kind of contract or deal. They understood it was just a shot in the dark, and that I wasn't interested in, first of all, being a pitcher, and second of all, going out of high school. Much, you know, even if I were a top pick, I'm not sure I would have gone, but much less in the 48th round. So I went to college. I had a great opportunity to play football and baseball there. Coach David Cutcliffe, offered me a football scholarship and told me I could play baseball. So it was really all I wanted to do was play Division I football and baseball, and then to do it and be able to do it in the SEC was even better.
Yeah, and you were at Ole Miss, and you were a backup to Eli Manning. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess it. The way it worked out, wasn't exactly how I think anyone had it envisioned, but it's just the way it happened. I had 3 years of eligibility at Ole Miss in football, and all 3 years Eli Manning was there as the starter, obviously, and so I was just kind of, I'd prepare, but for the most part just hang out and get to enjoy watching him play. And then, my baseball career kind of took off, and the rest is history.
And in a real piece of irony, Todd Helton's on this team. And when he was at Tennessee, he was back up to Peyton Manning. Is that right?
Right, exactly. And
you guys talk football?
Not much, a little bit. And another piece to that is David Cutcliffe was his quarterback's coach at Tennessee.
Really?
And my head coach at Ole Miss. So we have a lot of connections, know a lot of the same people. And we talk, we're all big sports fans. And,
yeah,
we'll talk, but no – Todd and I don't break down game film or talk strategy or anything like that. It's just, how'd Ole Miss do, how'd Tennessee do,
right,
kind of deal.
Our guest is Seth Smith of the Colorado Rockies, an outfielder. We will take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Seth Smith, who's having a pretty good year with the Colorado Rockies. And Rockies are a strong team, right in the battle for the playoffs. And Seth, let's talk a little bit about you as a person. When did Jesus Christ become a part of your life?
From a young age. I don't know the exact time. I grew up in the South, Mississippi, and grew up in a Christian home, and knew of the Bible and church and God and Jesus from a young age. So I was fortunate in that area, and I believe like when I was 8 or 9, I accepted Christ into my heart for the first time, and not sure I knew exactly what that meant. But then after my senior year of high school, going into college, is when I really realized what it was all about, and realized that hey, this isn't a part-time thing, this is an all-the-time thing, and realized what Jesus expected of me and wanted from me.
Now, talking about that a little bit, I saw a great article from the Denver Post about the fact that you live out your faith on the field, and when you get a major paper like that to say that really says something. In your opinion, how does that work out? How does your faith come into play on this team?
Well, I try not to hide it. I'm not a very vocal guy. I'm not out there, preaching a lot or doing anything like that. So the best medium for me to use is my actions and how I go about my business. And we have an outstanding platform as professional baseball players. So I just try to remind myself and realize that every time I'm on the field, there's, thousands of people watching me, and that, it doesn't take necessarily my words. It's that my actions can speak volumes, and so that's what I'm trying to do. And in the clubhouse, it's awesome. We have a good many other believers, and guys, and even if a guy's not a believer, most of the guys in the clubhouse are respectful of where you come from and are okay with it.
When you come to the plate, of course, when any player comes to the plate, or a pitcher comes in, they've got a song. Your song used to be, is, and maybe still is, used to be Jesus Freak by DC Talk. Is it still that?
Still is. Yeah, sticking with it.
And why is that your choice?
I wanted a Christian song, and, you know, I'm always looking for something new. I haven't found anything that's really, you know, stuck out to me or, you know, has blown me away, but that song for me, it's not one of my favorite songs. It's, you know, I'm not, you know, I am a DC Talk fan, but for me, it was just a song that just about every Christian knows, and it's kind of an older Christian song that's been around for a long time, and when you hear it, you kind of immediately know what it is and kind of what it means. So that's why it was important for me to choose that song and use it, so that you know, people know where I come from.
I know too that there, when you're on the road, particularly, you have a lot of free time, and probably have an iPod and have favorite music. Who are some of the artists that you really appreciate?
Right now, Need to Breathe is my favorite group right now. They're, you know, the guy's got a tremendous voice, and Jars of Clay has always been one of my favorite groups. Also, I love their old stuff. Their new stuff I enjoy listening to, but their the old stuff is definitely my favorite. So those two are, but I listen to just about anything. I'm always looking for the newest, best thing to listen to, but those are two of my favorites right now.
I know the Rockies have a strong Christian heritage, and this year you guys took quite a blow in April with the death of Kelly McGregor. How did that affect you, and tell us about that a little bit?
Well, it definitely hurt for me. There were two aspects. One was my relationship with Kelly, which, you know, I didn't have, you know, I've talked to him a few times, but didn't really know him too well. I knew his reputation and knew where he was coming from and what kind of a man he was. But so for the personal relationship that I had with him, it hurt. But what really was hit home was watching everyone else who was close to him and how they reacted, and how you could tell what kind of an impact he had on their lives just by the man he was and how he went about his business. And and then we had, you know, a memorial service for him, and his three daughters and son got up and, you know, had written letters to him, and you know, you could just tell through their letters that, you know, he was living life the right way and was making an impact on others.
Kelly McGregor was the president of the Colorado Rockies. Died of a heart attack, I understand, and died on the road in his hotel room. I know, as we said, there's a strong Christian heritage among this team from the top down. Tell us about that a little bit. Where does all of that come from, and what makes the Rockies so different from other teams?
You know, I can't speak to other teams. This is the only team I've been with, but just having guys who have been to other teams come in here, and maybe not so much from a Christian aspect, just from a, you know, a people aspect, just talk about how much better our clubhouse is than other clubhouses, and how much you know, the guys get along and things from the get-go. I was told, you know, that they're all about, you know, they're not about drafting Christian players, but they are about drafting and getting guys with great character and integrity into our clubhouse. And that's obvious by the group of guys that we have right now. And like I said, they're trying to draft or get guys with integrity and character in here, and that in turn will bring a lot of Christian guys in as well.
Throughout baseball, Christianity has a platform, particularly on faith days. The Rockies have been a big part of that. And I know, of course, Mercy Me, the group, has been a big part of that. What has your role been, if any, in the last few years that you've been here with the Rockies in their faith days?
In 2008, I was fortunate enough to be able to speak at Faith Day. Stephen Curtis Chapman was here, and it was just a brief. Dave Dravecki was on the stage, and just asked me a couple questions that I could relay the answer to the audience. And that's been the only time I've been involved. Last year, Mercy Me did the whole thing, sang a concert. I think Jeremy Camp's coming this year, so we're excited about that. But it is nice. It's nice that, you know, the Rockies will allow us to have a faith day, and you know, it's obviously popular. There's thousands and, you know, thousands of people that stick around and enjoy our faith days.
Seth, it's been great talking to you, talking about your faith, and really have high respect for you in that. As we close our interview today, do you have a favorite verse, or do you have anything that you kind of fall back on?
Yeah, Matthew 5:16 is the verse that I use, you know, a lot of my autographs and a lot of the speaking that I do, and it kind of goes back to what I was talking about, not being a very vocal guy, but trying to live it out and stuff. And it just says, let your light shine before men that they'll see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And, you know, that's kind of what I'm all about. I try to live by that verse and, you know, realize that I'm playing for an audience of one. And, you know, when I'm out there, people are watching, but it's, you know, it's a little bit hard to worry about what each one of those, the people in the stands or at home on TV are thinking. So I figure if I just play as if Jesus is the only one watching, that it'll probably turn out okay.
Seth, once again, thanks for being a part of Face to Face. Good luck to you, and we will continue to pray for you, as our listeners will, I'm sure. Thanks for being a part.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Seth Smith of the Colorado Rockies. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Seth Smith, who's in his first year with the Baltimore Orioles. And let's hope that he gets into the World Series again. That Eastern Division race is pretty good. You got the Yankees and Boston, Baltimore, Tampa. You got a number of teams that are doing really well. Of course, there's a couple of teams in the majors right now that are doing outstanding, and one of them has to be the Houston Astros, who are just tearing up the league. They had a phenomenal record. They've cooled down a little bit lately, but Houston Astros may be in the World Series this year. It's hard to tell who's in the World Series, and it's hard to tell who's in the All-Star game. But we're in the midst right now, and we don't have it ready for you yet, but we're in the midst right now of formulating our annual Christian All-Star team. And we put that up on our website each year at facetofaceradio.com. And that's where you can see, not just yet, we haven't got it quite ready yet, but we'll have it ready in a couple of weeks, the Christian All-Star team, baseball's Christian All-Star team, a player at every position who has Jesus Christ at the center of his life. And, of course, we want you to know that because we want you to pray for him and want you to realize that what you hear in the media sometimes about players who are getting in trouble with the law or players who are having domestic issues, those things happen, but there are a lot of players out there who are silently under the radar, who are just doing tremendous things, and guys like Seth Smith. And I think there's a good opportunity. We haven't named him yet, but I think there's a good opportunity that Seth's going to be one of those guys on our Christian All-Star team this year because he's doing a tremendous job. Well, we hope that you will check out our website, facetofaceradio.com. You can see the archives that we have up there of shows in the past, and we've got some other things for you. So hope that you'll look at that, including the possibility or the chance, I might say, to pick up a copy of our Lynx magazine that comes from Lynx Incorporated, a ministry completely dedicated to golf, not just the PGA and the LPGA, but you'll find some articles in there that are very good. And you can pick that up through our website at no cost. Just click on our website, say you want a copy, and we will send you a copy. Once again, our website is at facetofaceradio.com, and we hope that you'll check it out. Well, we want to close today by going to a passage from the book of the prophet Micah, Micah 7:7. And here's what it says. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. And no doubt about it. We have great days. We have great times here on earth. But if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and I certainly hope that you do, our hope is in heaven. Our hope is spending eternity with Him. And we're certainly thankful for all the Major League ball players and all the other athletes that we have who talk about that testimony, because that truly is what is important.
That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Russ. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana, 47202. You can also find us on the web at face2faceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.